This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, July 14th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we have an open line Friday. Actually, we haven't had an open line in a while, Aaron, and I invited Aaron to participate in this to say, hey, Aaron, I want to still analyze what's trending inside the news, what's trending on social media, but I'm going to give the listening audience a chance to call in and say, hey, what's happening that they're happy about, what they're concerned about, or want our opinions about. Of course, like usual, I have one or two things that took or prick my imagination, my interest, and I will put that forward, and I want you to listen, and most people tend to not know these things that happen, but I want to bring it to the fore so we can have a discussion. Yesterday, as I was over Paradise Island, was it Paradise Island? Yes. I saw a seaplane, Aaron. I saw a seaplane landed on Paradise Island in the back on the beach. That's we call it Cabbage Beach. It's on the side of Cabbage Beach, but for this conversation, just call it Cabbage Beach. It landed on that side of the beach, and the owners, about five people, came off the seaplane.
Uh-huh.
Came off the seaplane with stuff. I mean, like boxes and equipment and whatever things else.
Like, okay, because when I go to a hotel, I take luggage. Did they bring their luggage off?
They brought luggage too.
Okay.
But they brought like stuff they buy. And I was saying, Aaron, I don't know you.
Like when you say stuff they buy, right?
Like TV and thing.
Like you could see it's in the original package.
It's the original package.
Okay.
Like they've been shopping.
Okay.
They've been shopping. And they have luggage, whatever it is. And I'm watching and say, I wonder if this is legal. Don't you have to pass some kind of custom or immigration? Or this is a norm that in the back of places like Waikiki and Albany and wherever else have
ports.
Private residence, ports and whatever it is. Can they land their sea plane or yacht, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just offload?
Can they land their craft? They can. The question is, are they allowed to by law, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something now that we actually have to question, because we have this new exempt app, right? We have a new customs app that everybody is required to fill out when they enter the country. Mm-hmm. It is possible that the people misinterpreted the law and the new app and the function of the new app. And maybe they thought if they use the new app to declare, like if they declare on The phone,
online.
They don't actually have to talk to
a
customs officer.
I guess you could pay online too, so you don't necessarily have to physically pay someone.
Right.
Say, I have two sodas here, and that's what I'm paying for, and I pay the two sodas.
Like, they could assume that. They could presume that. I imagine a lot of people already have presumed that they don't have to talk to a customs or immigration officer when they enter the country. But I'm almost certain that that's not how it goes. I'm almost certain that if you do not enter through a properly authorized port, and you don't follow the proper procedures for entry into the country of people and goods, then you are what we call an undocumented migrant. What I call an undocumented migrant, what the other people call you an illegal.
But definitely should have had some kind of flight plan. But I have another thing I have.
That's another point, right? So here's what we do. We can, if we get sort of like cross-check, we go to air traffic control and see if
Who are you asking to cross-check me? No, man.
No, I said, like, we, the collective we, like, if we had a responsibility, a statutory responsibility to investigate these things, we would like cross-reference, go to air traffic control and the ministry responsible for aviation and Aaron, find out if there was a flight plan.
If it was a wooden sloop, with about 30, 40 docks and people on it sailing, I may have intervened and called out the police or some sort and say, but I see one wooden sloop, right? But that's a plane. That's a yacht. They straight. I ain't calling nobody. Let them dock. They're special people.
So you're saying because
they're light skin?
Because they're heterosexual, they could just come in the country and they don't have to get checked by anybody. So you people who are not straight can't just come in the country, that's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that they light-skinned people with money. They good with me.
It's a good, I mean, I accept that. It's a good thing. You're not a customs or immigration officer. Well, you're just an ordinary citizen. In fact,
that's just me.
The authorities would recommend that you do not get involved.
No, I ain't getting involved.
Yeah, you don't go talk to them.
But if it's a sloop,
you can go talk to them?
No. I can call the police or at least take up my phone and say, man, I see a sloop. We were 30, 40, 50 people on this sloop.
They say, you sure they ain't from Long Island? No, Long Island just win the sailing competition.
There's only six of them on that sloop they win.
Yeah, but I'm almost certain that any entry of any type of craft, whether it's a sea craft or watercraft, has to, it's improper, it's an illegal entry if it's not at an authorized port and they are not met by the relevant authorities for the proper inspection and processing of people and goods. I got a text here that says it looked like a TV on the box, but anything could be inside it. That's what the text said.
Could be a radio inside there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be solar panels.
Solar panels.
They're trying to escape the duty and the environmental levy.
I understand. And it's hot in Bahamas. And light always off. Low shedding. So I see I don't excuse that.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to comment on recently. Recently on social media, there was a video circulating of an altercation, a brawl, a fight. It appeared, they had a narrative with it. The video itself had a narrative with it. And of course, the social media blogger accused some nationals of attacking tourists. And later on, we found that it was not the case. Because, and I think I might have sent it to you, and looking in my WhatsApp, what I sent to you, there was a police report. And I want to have that police report also read into the records of the show, so we know what happened, right? And of course, the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party commented, and rightly so, and I appreciate him damning the blogger for what he suggested, because it causes turmoil in the Bahamas unnecessarily. But I want to talk about crime in the tourist area, because I went over, I was touring. I went over, I was over PI, and I saw some strange things happening on Cabbage Beach, and I want to make commentary on it because I don't know if the powers that be are aware. And I said, since I noticed, I can bring it up whilst we here, as we have the hashing these conversations. But I want you to read this note, this police report in the record for me.
All right, so this is an RBPF news release. I was looking for a date, but that's the chapter is
police. Police don't put date.
Police investigate brawl in Abaco. Police wish to advise that they are aware and actively investigating the circumstances surrounding a brawl between tourists and natives, as seen on a video circulating on social media. Preliminary reports indicate that on July 9, 2023, two separate incidents occurred at a resort on Guanaki, located in the Abacos. The first incident reportedly occurred around 4:30 p.m. and involved a physical altercation between two families visiting from the U.S., which resulted in three males being injured and receiving medical assistance from the local clinic. Subsequently, the police arrested two adult Floridians in connection with this incident. The second incident reportedly occurred after a visiting patron observing the altercation between the families attempted to leave the property, but was unable to as the golf cart operated by the patron was obstructed by another golf cart. It is reported that the patron, a resident of Jupiter, Florida, made inquiries to locate the operator of the golf cart. It is further reported that the operator, a Bahamian female, after being located, refused to remove her golf cart, which resulted in a verbal altercation that escalated into a physical altercation between the duo. Additionally, it is reported that during the incident, the sister of the operator, who is also an American citizen from Connecticut, engaged in the assault on the Floridian female, which resulted in the father of the Floridian intervening to stop the assault. Subsequently, he was attacked by residents on the island. Police are questioning 4 adults, 3 Bahamians, and an American female in connection with this incident. The suspects in both matters are expected to be formally arraigned in the magistrate's court on Wednesday the 12th.
And I just wanted that to be read because the video is still circulating and the narrative blaming a segment of the Bohemian society that they are responsible, which was being found to be false, needs to be stopped, right? So I wanted to read what happened. But
go ahead. I need another report. I don't like this one.
You don't like that one?
I don't think it's clear enough.
I mean, it's not clear, but what you have a problem with the police report? This is how all the police reports be written. But no dates on it. But go ahead. What issue have with it?
It's a lack of clarity and transparency. It is reported that the patron, a resident of Jupiter, Florida, made inquiries to locate the operator of the golf cart. It is further reported that the operator, Bahamian female, after being located, refused to remove her golf cart, which resulted in a verbal altercation that escalated into a physical altercation. Who is the visiting patron? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Shouldn't that have been indicated when the patron first?
I guess that had none of your business. You just update and you know what happened. Why do you want so much details to wear?
Additionally, it is reported that during the incident, the sister of the operator, who is also an American citizen from Connecticut, engaged in the assault on the Floridian female. See, the second paragraph says the assault on the Floridian female. The first paragraph doesn't suggest that it is the Bahamian operator. We're not going to get into it. Yeah. This is a poorly written report, and it's 2023, and I just expect better.
Do you expect better from the police? That's one of the premier writers who wrote that. That's as good as it gets. I'm just glad there's no spelling error in it. But anyway, while I see you call, I'm going to come to you next. But while I was over PI, whilst I saw the seaplane land and the people was taking off the items of the seaplane, and I didn't see no customer immigration officers, right? Mm-hmm. And taking suitcases, whatever it is. And I said, I wonder if it's a regular thing. I saw a environment that is not policed. And I thought they had police officers stationed on public beaches, particularly where there is...
Is Cabbage Beach a public beach?
It's a Cabbage Beach. Yeah, you go there. All beaches are public beaches.
Hold on. Does the hotel and the residents... Do the residents of PI and the hotels, do they know that Cabbage Beach is a public beach?
Yeah, they know it's a public beach.
How they know?
They know because that's why they blocked in the road so you can't get to it because they know it's a public beach.
Okay. Okay, just checking.
But my point is, I see aggressive personnel. When I say personnel, private vendors engaging with the tourists, and I expect them to engage because I expect them to do commerce because that's what the tourists are here for Bahamians to benefit from, right? But without a police presence and how they are approaching and harassing the police, I don't know if I should say it on the radio, I've seen a person accost a guest and offer them substances to say, man, if you want this, I can get this for you. Right? Mm-hmm. And I only was there for a couple minutes, right? And I said, if I could see this, where are the police? Because this can't be good for our tourism product. This can cause a problem in the future. I've even saw people rowing with tourists and they said, this ain't healthy. And I just wanted to bring that up, especially and juxtaposed to that brawl that happened with some tourists in Abaco. And I'm saying that on Paradise Island, on that Cabbage Beach, is a problem. Right? And someone needs to have some kind of police officers, some type of system, some type of coordinator out there to say, hey,
first of all,
the bloody whistle, no,
you're absolutely
stop,
right.
Out of the pool.
You're absolutely right. Here's the first thing. Why don't we have a beach patrol unit? Why we don't have a beach patrol unit?
I don't know.
See, because I could imagine right now,
mm-hmm.
God, forgive me. Let me pull that right back in.
Yeah.
I watch officers on mobile patrol patrolling without their windows down, with the windows up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You could imagine what the police say when they tell them you have to go on the beach. Mm-hmm. Why don't you all have a beach patrol unit with officers that wear shorts and T-shirts?
But it's hot on the beach. It's hot on the beach.
Right, but that's why you wear a uniform that's suitable for the environment that you're supposed to be in. I don't expect them to send officers on the beach in the blacks and stripes and white tunics, right? Or even in the blues, even in the browns, even in the overalls.
Mm.
There should be a beach patrol. It just doesn't make any sense. How do you allow tourism to hog up the lion's share?
We have tourist police now. It says tourism police on the patrol car. We have tourism police. It's just that they ain't on the beaches.
No, but they're not policing tourists.
They ain't policing tourists.
And tourist spaces.
No.
They're policing Bahamians.
Yeah. Like I said, I was out there and I was concerned. I see potential of a brawl type thing happening out there, because especially when the exchanges and negotiation of money and saying no it is. And I said something needs to be addressed out there. I just wanted to bring it up. But I see we have go ahead.
And we have to build the capacity. See, I would hate to think that we haven't progressed with an idea like a beach patrol because we're concerned that some officers will treat tourists the way that they treat Bahamians.
Mm.
Which is a no-go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-go for Bahamians, but we don't have enough lawyers to make that point. But you can't let it happen to tourists. I would hate to think that that's the reason why we haven't mobilized a beach patrol yet. But it's 2023.
I concern, Aaron. I'd like to say, I noticed it and I said, let me bring it up.
Do the cruise ships that have private keys, what type of security protocols do they have in place? Because, I mean, there's copious
amounts. No police on no private island.
I didn't say police. I said security protocols, because there's copious amounts of alcohol. There's a whole bunch of strangers. They've only been friends for the amount of time that they've been on the ship. And I don't even mean they like each other. Certainly, the potential for the same thing arises in those spaces as well.
I know. It's an interesting question. But then no police on those private islands.
No, I say security. What are the security?
Well, there was security on the boat. This is what they can use. And they detain them and turn them over to Bahamian police afterwards. Just like how they had the sexual assault incident on the cruise ship recently.
Yeah.
They turned people over.
Should we let them? Should we let their security protocol? Let them train our police on how to deal with tourists, even though we've been the leaders in the tourism industry for decades and decades and decades. I was on a cruise ship and, they had a little rowdy incident happen and security dealt with it. And I didn't see it. You know, they de-escalated it. They dealt with it. The guy's a big bodybuilder. They got him under control.
What's that tourism program that they ask taxi drivers to attend?
Bahama Host?
How surely the police officers attend Bahama Host, the tourist police station. Officers attend Bahama Host to know how to engage with tourists. There goes the silence. Let's go to this caller. Producer, pass the caller through. Aaron gone quiet. She gone mute. Pass the caller through there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once. There's nothing? Okay, the caller. Sorry for taking so long. But as we speak, you have a text?
Well, no. I guess in the break, somebody is giving some insight into the brawl situation. So in a break, I'll let you look at that.
Yeah.
And we'll assess whether we could read them all on it.
But the police didn't give commentary on the brawl. They concluded they're investigating. But I know what they ain't being investigated. And this I want you to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
From last year, December. Last year's 2022.
Yeah.
We were saying that it is December 31st. The people, when I say people, members of parliament, senators, and public, permanent secretaries.
Yeah. Senior civil servants
need to declare.
Yeah.
Their assets and whatever they.
Now,
whatever.
I'd argue that December 31st was the deadline.
It's
right?
A deadline.
And then I was told that I was incorrect, because how could people have the year's accounting done for December 31st. I think y'all are just joking.
No, because we shut down on December 24th. But December 31st is a deadline, and then we have an extension for March 31st. That's,
right.
That's the extension part. Deadline is December. Extension is March. So by March, you have no excuses. That's the late period.
Yeah.
After that, there's supposed to be repercussions.
Yeah.
So what's the chairman of this? That's Leroy?
No, the Public Disclosure Commission chairman's name is, he is Bishop Victor Cooper.
Another bishop. But the Christian people all over the place. The most reverend Bishop Cooper,
yeah,
is in charge, right? And he came in March and said that he's waiting on some people to declare,
mm-hmm,
right? For whatever, they didn't understand it and waiting for declare. He then said that it's up to the prime minister to do something, prime minister and leader of opposition to determine whether these people have breached protocol, etc. Mm-hmm. This is from March he said this.
Mm-hmm.
This is from March he said this.
He also said the same thing last year.
And yeah, he did say the same thing last year. So there's March, after April, he came back and declared that, yes, he concluded that some people have not declared. He's about to go to the prime minister to say the names of these
persons.
He didn't
say that.
What did he say?
I don't think he said that at all.
Yeah, he said he's about to declare because he found the names.
I don't think that's what he said. He didn't have the names. He didn't know who they were. He had to go find out who they were.
Okay, I can stand correct.
This was in April, not March.
This is in April now.
Yeah.
Right? It's now July. We've been talking about this and what happened. Why has it taken so long? Has everyone declared? What is the protocol? He came back and declared instead of newspaper to say he recently. You see, I don't know.
Let me read it, man. People would think that you're making it up.
The man said he just do it
straight from the paper.
He said he just do it. He said he recently. He ain't doing it. Oh, read it, man. You find it.
This Today's Tribune on the front of the fold. The headline: many failed to file disclosures. Public Disclosure Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper said many senators and senior civil servants, failed to disclose their assets, income, and liabilities this year as the law requires. That's our concern, he said. A number of them haven't to this point. So I don't know the reason. You know, we send out all the documents on time and reminders, so that's where the delinquencies lie, amongst these senior government officers. Close quotes. He could not say for certain whether any elected officials failed to follow the law. He said he has...
What? I understand that.
He could not say for certain whether any elected officials failed to follow the law.
Yeah. Is only 39 of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure from March, from December, he got a report to say these are the names who have yet to declare.
Mm-hmm.
You mean he didn't see the report? He didn't see the report that he's coming to the news to give an update and he did not bring a report with him to say, well, I know two people.
Even if the news call him, like he didn't go to the news, even if he was on the line at the fast food restaurant, and the on-the-street reporter walk up to him. If I were the Public Disclosures Committee chairman...
His job. His job.
And it's July, and the process... I would walk with them papers.
Yeah.
You could catch me in church.
But he don't have a necessary given name. But he could say, well, for the last time I checked, it was three of them.
Right.
It was three of them who did not declare. He has no clue.
He could not say for certain whether any elected officials failed to follow the law. He said he has finally sent a letter to Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis and opposition leader Michael Pintard with names of people who did not comply with the law. Only the Prime Minister or leader of the opposition could table the list in Parliament or forward it to the Office of the Attorney General for potential prosecution.
Can you pause there?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kind of ordinance, some kind of law that says that he cannot say to the press? That has to be tabled in Parliament. You can't say, no, there's four. Give the name. These are the four members of Parliament who has yet to declare to me. Why is it that he has to go to the Prime Minister to have the Prime Minister announce it in the House of Assembly? I find it odd. You might as well make the Prime Minister the chairman.
I do.
You don't need a chairman for that. You could have a civil servant collect the information.
And just pass it on
to the Prime Minister.
I thought that the chairman would have a degree of authority that would enable him to do that. Well, let's go back into the article, sir. Only the Prime Minister or Leader of the Opposition could table the list in Parliament or forward it to the Office of the Attorney General for potential prosecution. Bishop Cooper said in June that he would notify PM Davis and Pintard of the delinquencies. However, yesterday he said he did not do so until recently.
So even in June, when he said he's going to report it to the Prime Minister, it's my eye doing it. Or you conclude that he didn't do it. What is he doing? What are you busy doing?
I have no idea. In addition to a $10,000 fine, those guilty of breaking the law could serve 2 years in prison.
No, I don't want them to get locked up. These honorable men. They can't get locked up, and I don't believe they should get fined, you know.
You see the lights blinking? I don't like the silence.
I can get to talk to you. Why don't you finish that thing until you go to the phone line?
They could spend 2 years in prison.
No, I don't want to get locked up.
Last year, some first-time MPs said they were unaware there was a legal requirement to file financial disclosures under the Public Disclosures Act.
They take us for fools.
No, I like this. This is a perfect... You remember we were talking about opportunities yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect opportunity. Honorable Alfred says, for the immediate future, I'm taking your name off of the fire list. I got a bunch of other names I need to put on that list right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the immediate future, I will refrain from calling for your resignation, although you and I both know where we stand. Asked yesterday about the level of compliance this year compared to 2022, Bishop Cooper said it has been better this year.
Better.
He didn't say it is excellent. He didn't say everybody...
Just better.
Like everybody catch shame. Whether they were shame for themselves or shame for their colleagues.
It is better.
And ensured that it would not happen again.
Even the extra time.
The Bahamas does not have a robust system surrounding public disclosures. In its annual human rights report, the United States has repeatedly noted that no independent verification of the information public officials submit exists.
So that means they can make up anything and be cool with it.
Listen, and the only thing we'll see is what the government decides to publish. And only then can we take it upon ourselves to make the inquiry.
This is time you can call now, callers. You can call now because I know some people hang up just now. We're talking for a bit. But producer Patch, this caller through. Now I'm going to make sure be available to the public. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasant good morning, man and woman.
Morning.
You know, two things I wanted to make a comment on when it comes to talk show in regards to this incident with tourists. Sometimes I'm surprised that something really dangerous ain't happened yet, that we really feel ashamed of our country when it involves tourists, because one of the main things I think about sometimes, some of these tourists, as we know, they be over here to enjoy the Bahamas sun, sea, sand, and fun. A lot of them I've noticed when I went out different places are here for party, especially the males, and the females too. There's a lot of alcoholic beverages involved. And what scares me sometimes is when people go and mess with these people. They don't have no idea who these people are. Some of those could be people that are engaged in the Army, the Navy, you know, well-trained people going as far as what we call green berets. Some of these people are trained to kill. And when you mix alcohol with that on a beach full of sand, and this dude over here in a Durban bathing suit, bareback, and you go and mess with him or get involved with him, one blow in your neck, around your larynx, or one punch side of your temple in your head, that could be you.
Okay.
That might not be normal, just fly to that guy, just jump on the plane from Florida, come here.
What else you want to comment on, Spider?
What else I wanted to comment sometimes? This is jokingly, I can say, Mr. Nuri. I don't know why Ms. Green just don't have a 1-2-hour show, because she's have a show, and then she's have your show, and you just be there like a guest.
I don't mind being a guest. I appreciate that.
But you don't have no show. Ms. Green has have a 2-hour show by herself.
But they still pay me. That's good.
So you get paid for doing nothing. And all these people are looking for jobs.
I bless.
Have a good day.
I bless, man.
Hey, man, it's doing. The avocado's full, but they're getting big.
I call me when you're ready.
I must call you the way you treat me on radio.
I got you. But
Ms. Granny can soon bring you a big, big bike. One of them big new shopping bike. The tree handle on it. With some avocados. Ms. Nuri can tell you. Them Russell's, you know, them long ones. What is it called? Bottleneck?
I can bring it too. So you take it over my show, Aaron. You like talk too much. But that's how women do. Women, you all like talk. Yeah, you like talk. No? You don't like talk? But anyway.
This time you have me here like a secretary. Sparky.
You got to read, so I got to read.
Look here, I love, Sparky, I love when you bring levity to the day, okay? I love when you bring levity. This time I've been relegated.
Someone got to read. Someone got to write the notes. You get a job. I need you to read. But yes, man, my point is, right, something is wrong with what is happening inside Parliament. And something is so drastically wrong, it's offensive to the Bahamian public, right? And nobody is holding our Prime Minister, the leader of the opposition, because you notice that they haven't spoken on it. They didn't speak on it in March. They didn't speak on it in
right.
It's, April. It's, they didn't speak on it in June.
It's the same point from yesterday, yes. Right? Is there something in law that prevents the leader of the opposition publicly requesting that the commission does its job?
That's why you can't vote for the leader of the opposition, because he's incompetent too.
You don't vote for the leader of the opposition.
No, but my point is, he's proven to be incompetent too, because he, a person in opposition trying to get into the position, he should be leading the charge. But he's delinquent. Yeah. Just like our Prime Minister. He's delinquent.
The Prime Minister should have publicly See, and here's why you do it publicly. Because justice must not just be done, it must be seen to be done. You get a Prime Minister and you say, the same way y'all like to throw shade, like, everybody know the name of the company, I just ain't calling it in the house. Same way y'all like to throw some shade at the Commissioner and compel him. The Commissioner of Public Disclosures, don't throw shade at the Commissioner of Police or the Commissioner, the Commodore of the Defense Force, like the other PM. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But this one, just throw a little shade and say, hey, I'm relying on you to do your
Aaron,
job.
Imagine we have permanent secretaries who have access to the entire budget of their ministry, not declaring their income. You know that how drastic that is. That nobody's alarmed. To say, man, no, I ain't telling not a soul. You can beg for this information, and you know, and I ain't telling the Prime Minister.
No. Don't put it on. My mother was a PSO.
I hope she declared.
See why I like silence, Sparky? Mm-hmm. You have me in here talking. I hope she declared too. The point is this. Let's not put it on the individual person. Why is there not a system? We understand.
What do you mean there's not a system?
We understand the weight of work and the burden the PSs take on. Mm-hmm. We also understand that they got teams to delegate to, right? Mm-hmm. But why haven't the PSs, why haven't the public management, the union, why hasn't somebody said, hey, we need to ensure that we have accountants available to ensure that senior civil servants can fulfill their statutory obligations. Why haven't they devised that? We don't have to get into whether people are corrupt or whether they break into rules. Why is there this dysfunction in the system?
Let's have another conversation here. There's a telephone caller there. Producer Patrick, call it through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary, and good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, ma'am.
Listen, if we're waiting to hear a response from the government, I could kind of understand the opposition leader, right, Mr. Pintard, because he's not there yet. He hasn't had the opportunity to feel the flying power that is there in government. So he may be a little lackadaisy, don't know why.
One second, caller. She's saying he ain't been a PM yet, so he don't have no flying power. He don't know the budget, the travel budget. He didn't feel the power of the travel. That's what you're saying, caller?
Yes, exactly. So therefore, he may have no rush, you know, but the Prime Minister who's there now, who has feel the power and who seemed to want to get back there, should say something, because I don't remember about 2 weeks ago or more when I asked, what happened? How come we haven't heard if these persons have disclosed or not?
Yes.
Now it's said that they haven't. I think we need to get rid of the good bishop. I'm sorry. Let's put him back in the church to do something.
Sam! Sorry, I got excited.
He's not doing his job by pushing the issue.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I think it is. It's simple. It's not a judgment of character. We're not getting into that. What we're saying is there's a dysfunction in the system. This has been going on for 2 years now. the man himself, the chairman himself, has raised the issues. They have not been addressed sufficiently. Systems and protocols have not been devised and put in place to mitigate whatever the issue was last time. You mean to tell me that the PLP announced, in fact, I'm putting it to you all plain, people in the PLP suggested to me that their candidates didn't need to come on to my show to have a conversation about politics and governance because the PLP was taking care of that by offering their candidates courses, training, preparation for their role as parliamentarians.
That's where we should be more concerned. These people were taught. The PLP had a college, in quotes, had an entire school teaching prospective members of parliament, senators, the whole gamut of team, how to be better parliamentarians, the rules of the House, the things that are demanded, and they still, despite all that education, they ain't declaring.
The statutory and their ethical obligations as parliamentarians, and that was year one.
That was year one.
And this is year two, in July, the 14th.
So this must be intentional. This isn't by chance or happenstance that I just not know better. Like how the chairman, the good bishop, said, oh, they didn't know. They said they didn't know. They did know because they were taught. They just chose not to do it. The permanent secretaries choose not to declare because they know. These are seasoned men and women, and they say, man, I don't care whatever rules are there. I ain't telling you how much money I make.
Now, that's what we're left to infer, right? That's what we're left to infer. That means that's what we can reason, you know, what we reasonably grasp from what lays in front of us. It's not a clear indictment.
You're trying to make my words say fake. That's what you're trying to do?
I just saying, like, the text here say they don't like the last caller, they think, you know, she's being a bit hypocritical, that Pintard has some power and he's making mistakes, but not the same fire for Davis. Their text, I think you missed a bit of political satire there.
Mm.
Right? I think you missed a bit of political satire there.
Let me go on a break now, but let's patch this caller through and then we go on a break right now. Okay, go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Turn your radio down, David.
Pardon me for that.
No problem.
Regarding Davis talking to whites, I have a question. And the protocol should be in place at all times?
The laws are in place, yes.
Say it again?
The law is definitely in place, yes.
Well, then, if the law in place, and the gentleman, what his name is again?
Bishop?
Bishop Cooper.
No, the gentleman would give the information to the Prime Minister.
Bishop
the
Cooper.
Good Bishop.
Oh, okay.
He's a safe man.
What caused him to, I mean, to hold back for so long?
Yeah.
He's busy.
Busy? That's not the way you do it. That's the Bahamian people's business. We got to get it right around here. Somebody jiving.
The question is, who does he serve? Does he serve the people or the Prime Minister?
Aaron?
Pardon?
What did you say?
I said the question is, who does he serve?
See, see what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter that he serves at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. Put that aside. That doesn't matter. The question is, who does he serve? He serves the Bahamian people. It is the Prime Minister that decided to put him there, but that doesn't mean that he serves the Prime Minister.
The thing is, the protocol, the way you're supposed to do it,
yes.
Right? That's supposed to always be in place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not abiding by the protocol, something is wrong with either you or something.
And I thank you very much, Bremen. I got Bremen's point. Yeah. Is it him reporting or just now reporting the names late?
Yeah.
And if it is late, I would say obviously late, surely there should be some disciplinary actions for him to say, I just now given the names. Almost 6 months later.
Yeah. I got a text here. He says, first of all, Aaron, stop paraphrasing people them texts. He said, I watched Tourist Slap Spat Punch workers, but Bahamians don't get any satisfaction or rewards while guests go free, especially if they are right. That takes us back to our prior conversation. That's a part of my concern. I feel very uncomfortable with the entire conversation, right? The suggestion, and not just the conversation this morning, conversation on social media, the conversation in other media houses, the suggestion that in the interest of protecting the tourism product as a whole, Bahamians must be willing to suffer abuse. They must be willing. They must understand that we invite tourists here to get rowdy and get drunk, and we must expect that they're going to get out of control. And if they lose control and they won't fight, well, you know, and they hit a couple people, that can happen. And you have to understand that because you're working in tourism. I don't like that at all. So you got a couple of callers there.
We got to take this break now, and then we take up that caller. Caller, right. I see you. We're going to take this quick break, and then we're coming straight to you after this caller. This Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. I'm with Erin Green. She's not taking over my show. We have a discussion, and she have a job. Her job is to read.
They have me waking unpaid secretary.
Your job is to read.
Look at God.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I know we had a caller waiting to get connected. Let's go to caller first, and then we could continue our discussion about things ain't working. No, man. I be concerned with the big good bishop and the crime that is happening. But let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Producer? No, that's not going through. Okay, the first one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning again, Erin and Mr. Neary.
Good morning.
Erin, I know you have a traffic thing, so I wanted to bring something to your attention concerning the guys that does the work on the road.
You know, she's doing a traffic thing on her show, part of the show, not necessarily on my part of the show.
But I don't know traffic thing. Erin, last night, the government guys were trying to do some paving. I think it was East Street South when a car that did not want to adhere to the rules that the road was closed, the gentleman got out of his car and knocked the young man in his head.
What?
With a rock.
Man.
They had to call the ambulance for him last night.
That's typical for Bahamians.
No, it's not.
It's not typical?
No, it's not.
The people, and they choose to work at night.
That's typical.
Because they don't want to interrupt the flow of traffic during the day. And you would knock the young man in his head. All he was doing was his job by telling you, okay, the road is closed, you have to go around.
We have violent society here.
No, I'm saying when I say that it's not typical, this is an escalation. So it's not typical, like we've been doing that for 20 years. That's what I meant to say. Mm. It's an escalate. It is becoming more commonplace.
It's common.
And it is an opportunity for the Royal Bahamas, because I like that word opportunity. Alfred says like it, I like it too. It's an opportunity for the Royal Bahamas Police Force to see that there's a crisis.
You mean a crisis?
On our roads. Let me tell you what happened to me this weekend. I was crossing from Soldier Road over to Village Road, right? I was in the right lane, so that's the lane to go straight across Village and not the lane to turn left onto Parkgate. Three cars stopped to turn right to go back south on Village, right? So I put on my turn signal, I went into the left lane, and I quickly moved back into the right lane, right? A vehicle was coming up, beside me, and they tried to speed past me before I could, before I could get around. There was a cone preventing them from continuing in the left turn lane. So they had to slow down. They just didn't make it to the cone before I did, mm-hmm. right? So they got upset. They blew their horn at me. So I blew my horn back. Hi, how you doing? Just say, you hailing? I hailing. They stopped the car to come around me on the right-hand side and threw objects at my car because they couldn't time, because they couldn't figure out the timing to beat me to the cone.
You should have slowed down and let them pass, Aaron. You're just difficult. I would have let them pass.
Let them pass? Wow, they're behind me.
I know, but I would let them pass.
I should have brought my car to a complete stop to just let them pass.
Yes.
Their response, because they don't have the spatial awareness and critical thinking to make a move on the road, is to throw objects at my car. Dear Royal Bahamas Police Force, don't allow those people... Let me rephrase that, because Cecil is my boy. That's why I like the silence sometimes. Dear Royal Bahamas Police Force, you have a statutory, you have a legislative obligation to enforce the rules of the road, to protect citizens from unruly drivers. People have been stabbed. People have been assaulted. It's time for y'all to actually do the job now.
You're busy. They're busy. That's why they're...
That's what's going to happen, yeah. Hey,
go, producer, patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Guidry Ram.
Is that me?
That's you?
I want to answer that stupid text. Nobody has the right to be abused because we... we seek tourists to come into this country. We have the law, and if you're insulting somebody, if you're a tourist or not, the law is supposed to take control. So what do you think this is? They're trying to bring us back to slavery?
I hear you there, Bruce.
By suffering abuse? That person would have written that text. They are very much immature. They should have...
I hear your frustration, Bruce. But one thing with us, as black people, we scared to go back to slavery. We bring that up quick. You want us to go back to slavery? We terrified. You ain't going back there.
I'm so happy I finished eating that gnep just in time.
Yeah.
We have a stop list, right?
Yeah.
I want to know.
You're going to put the tourist on the stop list?
When tourists assault someone,
mm-hmm.
regular person,
a bohemian.
Another tourist.
Yes.
Another tourist, a bohemian, a tourist worker, a police officer. Someone in a position of authority, and they've been charged, they've been found guilty.
And the American embassy say, no, don't press charges, we can deport them
right.
to the United States.
Whatever happens, do we put them on a stop list? Do we say that your behavior was so egregious, so intolerable, so unfathomable, we can't tolerate it in this place, and we're putting you on a stop list. And then maybe you could apply through your embassy for reconsideration of whether you'll be allowed back into paradise.
I'll be content with just publishing their face in the newspaper.
In the Bahamian newspaper?
Yeah, Bahamian newspaper.
For foreigners?
For foreigners.
Yeah. So when they come, we'll know who they are.
Yeah, that's him right there.
And we can avoid them.
Put them in the airport.
Like, I just say...
You know when you go to the big food store and they have... These people have been stealing stuff inside the store, right?
Put it in the hotel.
Put it in the hotel. See him there. That's my cousin. You know?
No, that's too much? I just think that we expect too much of our citizens with so little in return.
Yeah.
We expect them to fulfill these roles of subservience, and we do nothing on the other side to build them up. We say, take this little pittance. We know it's not enough to pay your power bill, but having money in your hand should make you feel good.
We have 2 minutes. Let's get this caller through before we go. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
You can hear me, right?
Clear.
Good morning, guys. Poppy, Miss Green.
Yes, sir.
I missed the part this week where you started to say something about Clint Watson, a story or something, but I didn't get to hear what you were saying. You could just say a quick something quickly, what it was about.
So we got into it yesterday. There's an article in the Tribune. An international group, Public Media Alliance, had a critique about the commentary or the lack thereof surrounding Clint Watson's movement between the OPM, the Office of the Prime Minister, and ZNS. And it was a very specific point. And they said they were concerned about what appeared to be a lack of transparency, right? When he was still appointed in the Prime Minister's office, but was engaging in some sort of work at ZNS. And the organization just requested some transparency and clarity and highlighted the situation. And we brought it up because we had been engaged in a similar commentary, but we were told that we were being petty and childish and political.
That's it. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Graham was with me. Now is the news. Have a wonderful day.